The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jackie McMullen, L. Duncan, Frank Isola. In the history of professional basketball, the list of humans who have done what Luka Doncic and Donovan Mitchell did yesterday, hilariously few. Mitchell joining Jordan and Iverson. That's who Mitchell joined with his second 50-plus in the series. And then Doncic, if we could say this to ESPN Stats and Info, a buzzer-beater playoff game winner at 21 in a 43-17-13 triple-double. Never before in the history of the sport. So there's that. Let's start there. How the Clippers had Reggie Jackson on him, not Kawhi Leonard, not Paul George, not everybody on the team, and how you kind of knew he was going to do what he did before and during him doing it, and how he still could do it, and how the fans didn't react to him doing it. Very odd. Jackie, what happened? What is Luka Doncic?
But see, Tony, you just defined what greatness is. The greatest players that ever played this game announce to their defender exactly what they're going to do before they do it, and they do exactly what they tell them, and they still score and win. And Luka Doncic is honestly that special. Don't discount how hard a step back three is, even if it is Reggie Jackson on you. And clearly the Clippers made a mistake there. They switched. I don't know why Kawhi Leonard switched there. He shouldn't have, clearly. And that's the one big question I have about this series is we thought the Clippers were going to be one of the most dominant defensive teams in this bubble, in this postseason. That has not come to pass. And give Rick Carlisle a little credit, too, by going small, putting Trey Burke in that lineup and making it, you know, you're going to try to double Luka, but Trey Burke has made them pay for that. Meanwhile, while Kristaps Porzingis, their other unicorn, didn't even play in this game.
Yeah,
what Luka's doing
that's
is just, it's unbelievable. It's unthinkable at his age, triple-double, and that shot 0-for-10 lifetime in a game-tying or go-ahead situation in the final minute of a game. This is the first and not
That's the most last. Amazing thing you say, Jackie, though. You said lifetime. He's 21. So there's what it happens and what it does for this series, which is a huge topic, but also the extreme rarefied air he is in at 21 years of age. You're our Basketball Hall of Famer, Jackie. What are we witnessing here?
I think he's one of the top five players in the game right now. And listen, he's shooting. Now he's finishing games. He could end up being the MVP within 2 or 3 years. Why not? He's incredible.
Okay, so I can't get you to call him Magic or Jordan or Larry Bird or all in one. We'll bring in Frank Isola. Maybe you're willing to do that, Frank.
You know what? I think it's a combination of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. I think if most GMs, if you were asking today to draft everybody in the league, there's a lot of them that would take Luka first. Remember, they're down 21 points in this game. To Jackie's point, they do not have Kristaps Porzingis. They easily could have given up. He carried this team like he's been doing all year long. And to think that on Kobe Bryant's birthday, here's Luka Doncic providing a Kobe-like moment, his first buzzer beater. It's going to be one that everyone's going to remember. Right now, it's the moment down in the bubble, and it was such an incredible moment for him and for the NBA, and now the Clippers, who did not defend that play well, they're in a dogfight.
Yeah, they didn't defend that play well, right? Frank, what was the thought process there not to have Kawhi Leonard or Paul George somewhere near by the time that shot's released?
Yeah, and Jackie had said it. They were switching, but get the ball out of his hands. Make somebody else beat you. And I get it. Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway Jr. both played very well. Make somebody else besides Luka. Because guess what? That step back three, as Mark Jackson pointed out on the air, that's his shot. He works on that, and it worked yesterday.
And now we bring in L. Duncan. What is Luka Doncic, L?
I mean, Luka's ridiculous, right? And, like, to come to the defense of Reggie Jackson, because I picked on him too, like, none of the Clippers have really been able to defend him particularly well, except for Marcus Morris, who seemed to have been giving him some fits. It's not about what Luka has, because Luka has it all. To me, yesterday's game was about what we didn't see. Paul George. Like, where is Paul George in this equation? Because, yes, he's not shooting well, and that's well documented. He missed a wide-open bunny at the end of regulation, but he's also not playing any defense. You can't be one of the best two-way players in the game and not play any defense. It's ironic to me that he mentioned James Harden a couple of weeks ago, or a couple days ago, sort of snarkily saying, well, I'm not James Harden. He meant offensively. Defensively, they're actually right on par with each other, which is not really good, because James Harden against the Thunder is allowing opponents to shoot around 40%, and Paul George is allowing the Mavs to shoot around 39% when he's the primary defender. Something's got to give, and right now he's not bringing anything to the table.
Jackie, what do you think the malfunction is here right now with George in this series, but overall in the playoffs?
Well, obviously he's struggling with his shooting, but if I were Doc Rivers, the first thing I would do to him is say, look, don't worry about scoring right now. We need you to defend. We know you can rebound. You're a good facilitator. The shots will come. Do all those other things for us, and I'll be happy. And then I would go in and say to my staff, let's draw up three or four plays and run it for Paul George in the first quarter so we can get him to the rim, get him to the line, get his free throw motion going, have him visualize the ball going through the hole, and maybe you can get him on track.
I need more on Luka Doncic here. I just need more. I mean, Friday, remember the story on Friday, Frank? Montrezl Harrell calling Luka Doncic, quote, a ass white boy, end quote, on the court. This became a big deal, and this is yet another reason why Harrell was on a third rail here. You don't call out the best competitor on the floor and give yourself a huge disadvantage from a basketball sense. Frank, did Harrell's apology before the game on the court yesterday adequately end that for you?
Well, it was silly, and I think Doc Rivers, I'm sure the league got to Montrezl Harrell. Right now is not the time to be talking like that. I get it. That's kind of standard trash talking on the court, but considering where we are, probably wasn't the right thing. But I'll say this about the Clippers. If you go back to Patrick Beverley and Paul George taunting Damian Lillard and what Montrezl Harrell did the other night trying to intimidate Luka Doncic, this team does a lot of talking for a team that hasn't won anything except for Kawhi Leonard and Doc Rivers. The rest of them, they talk. They don't do much winning.
Elle, did Harrell's apology put that to bed for you enough?
Yeah.
Adequately?
Yeah. I feel like we probably made more of this than Luka Doncic did. Like, maybe 30 years from now, he'll pull a Michael Jordan and tell us that literally every slight was motivation for him in every single game. But I can't imagine someone we've been calling generational for years now needed someone reminding him of what race he was in order to key him to something like we saw. That's just pure skill and magic. That had nothing to do, in my opinion, with what was said to him.
We'll move on. Philadelphia 76ers, it's possible they had an unsatisfying end to their season. Let's go. Well, you get swept in the first round, and change is coming for just about any team. For this team specifically, and the 7 years of procession building with Brett Brown and the commitment to Embiid and Simmons, Jackie, where do they go from here? Is it a blow it all up situation?
Well, it isn't for me, but it's a very good question, Tony. I think both of those players are future Hall of Famers. I'm keeping them. I'm going to make it work. By the way, I saw it work for large swatches of last season when they had Jimmy Butler and they had a guy like J.J. Redick who could shoot threes around him to take some of the pressure off. Here's the problem, though. If you look at their roster, who's the highest paid player in their team? It's not Simmons or Embiid. Tobias Harris brings in $34 million a year, and he made exactly 2 3-pointers in the series. Al Horford, who they brought on at great expense, who makes almost as much as Ben Simmons, do you know how many threes he made? Zero. So if you wanted to move on from those two, who on earth is going to take their contracts? It's going to be very interesting to see going forward how they loosen up that roster to add wing players and shooters, which is what they need.
Right. So you'd say it's how this team was constructed is their fundamental flaw. I understand that.
Spacey.
But to answer the question, yes or no, blow up the team, your answer is no.
No. Nope.
Elle Duncan, how about you?
I mean, I don't know about not blowing up the team. Just don't blow up Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Are we crazy here? You're talking about two all-stars. And I think Jackie Mack said it, like future Hall of Famers in their mid-20s. You want to break that up? That's absolutely insane. Yes, they need better complementary players. It's no knock on the guys that are around them, but they just don't fit that particular style. Ben Simmons is a great facilitator, but he has no one to facilitate to, and Joel Embiid is always going to pull a double team in the post, so there's literally no one to shoot at this point. Also, the rate of return on trading away all-stars is incredibly low, and Philly should know that better than anybody else. Hello, Charles Barkley and Moses Malone and Wilt Chamberlain. You trade them away and get what in return? It doesn't make any sense. They need someone who's a little bit more creative.
But you would agree this team is flawed as well, correct?
Yes. They're incredibly flawed, right. But it doesn't
so
have to
do. So then you have to do something.
But you don't have to get rid mm-hmm. of one of the best cores. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, these are two generational talents on the same
okay.
team. You don't have to do that.
I'm hearing that. That's two panelists that call them Hall of Famers already. We'll bring in Frank Isola. How do you fix this mess?
Well, I think there'll be a coaching change, which is fine. Brett Brown was set up all season long to be the fall guy. And I think a lot of it's going to fall on Embiid because last year ended in the playoffs with him crying on his girlfriend's shoulders. And he made it sound like everything was going to be better this year. Yet he didn't improve his fitness. He's still in games. He's not a good enough defender. He has a long way to go. He needs to grow up now. We get that he's entertaining on the court. He's got a lot of talent. But there's going to come a point, like all the great players in the league, you're judged on playoff success. You've never been out of the second round. And the one time you made it to a game seven, that was Jimmy Butler dragging this team along. I'm sticking right now with Ben Simmons and with Joel Embiid. But the process, the whole thing, is on a short leash mm-hmm. for me.
You brought up Butler. How good does Butler look right now on a team already headed to the second round in Miami?
Right.
Let me ask you this, Jackie. Can a team built around the big man, and this is in general, but of course also Philly and Embiid, succeed in today's NBA?
I think they can. And when Embiid was in the low post, and by the way, he posted too high in this series, the entire series. If he posted lower, he might have been more successful. He is the best low post player in the game statistically. You just have to use it judiciously, and you need to surround him with shooters, Tony. That prevents the double team. He's got to get better, obviously, at passing out of the double team. That's on him. I think he knows that. But if you don't have perimeter shooters to help him, it's not going to work on any team.
All right, last question. So Brett Brown's future, well, I think Frank said it. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, Jackie and Elle, but do you believe he's the next coach? And if so, Jay Wright's name has been floated around. I read a report from Woj today about Juwan Howard maybe leaving Michigan. Maybe this would be a place for him. Does any of that make sense for you? Jackie, you could start us off.
So, you know, the day Ben Simmons went down, the Sixers, in my mind, had no chance in the series against the Celtics. That's just the fact. He was the guy that was going to guard Tatum. I agree with Frank. I think Brett Brown's a fall guy here, but we all know that's how it works in the NBA. Juwan Howard, I believe, has already come out and said he's not interested in jumping back to the NBA. This will be a very coveted job. I think it's a shame that it all lies at Brett Brown's feet. I don't think that's fair. I think there are plenty of other places to point fingers as well.
L. Duncan, I'll let you get the last word here on a coaching change in Philly.
Don't do it, Jay Wright. Why would you do it? Why would you leave Villanova, where you're a perennial contender, to go to a place that squandered their best opportunity at a championship a couple of years ago and then saddlebagged you with two contracts you probably can't get rid of, right? And Al Horford and Tobias Harris. And on top of that, what Jay Wright likes to do, run that motion offense, is exactly what they are not set up to actually run. The plate pieces are not there.
Okay.
He's the glorified
I hear you.
Round.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, but 2 minutes ago you told me you had two Hall of Famers on the roster. That's pretty great. It's pretty great to go to a job with two Hall of Famers on the roster. Taking a break right here. I got three Hall of Famers right in front of me. We're going to be talking about Donovan Mitchell, Jamal Murray. Double 50s in this game in Buy or Sell.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Who fitties in a playoff game for the first time in NBA history? I feel like we're saying this a lot now. A lot of firsts in NBA history. Utah 129, Denver 127, Mitchell averaging 39.5 for this series. Think about it this way. If Jamal Murray didn't go off in overtime in game one, this series is a wrap. Frank Isola, how did Utah rip off three straight wins? What is Donovan Mitchell doing that Denver has no answer for?
Yeah, they're exploiting them in the pick and roll. Jokic can't defend it. They're missing some defenders. It's kind of similar to what Kemba Walker was doing to Philadelphia and Joel Embiid. But give Donovan Mitchell credit. The final 2 minutes of game one, he made that big mental mistake when he didn't, you know, the 8-second violation. They go on to lose that game. He's been outstanding since then. Really one of the breakout stars of the bubble.
That's a great point about that violation he had. Jackie Mack, how is Mitchell doing this? How is Utah doing this?
Yeah, Utah has been fantastic. Will Barton and Gary Harris, those are the two guys Frank was alluding to. They are not part of Denver's team, and they're two very important defensive players. But I love the way that Donovan Mitchell has taken over this team. I've always felt it was his team. And give Mike Conley a ton of credit. We don't talk about his story enough. Left the bubble for the birth of his child, came back, played great in this game, 20-plus points, zero turnover. That's what you want from your point guard. He looks comfortable.
Jackie, I know you think if Doncic didn't do what he did, we'd be talking about Donovan Mitchell for hours today. So I want to give you another chance here to explore. Some people thought, you know, maybe he's a volume player. He's hit a ceiling. He's not the star. He is the star of this team. What are you seeing from him?
How can people think that? I don't know how old Donovan Mitchell is. He's really young. I don't have it right in front of me. But he's under 25. Why do we declare these guys done? And by the way, you should also be talking about Jamal Murray, too. He's been incredible.
Well, Duncan, I'll bring you in here on this.
Yeah, I can tell you that he's young, Jackie, because yesterday I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, wow, the kids are all right. Here's a stat for you. There have only been five games in NBA postseason history where a player 23 years or younger has put up a 50-piece, and three of them have come in this series alone because Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray have been absolutely incredible.
So there's
numbers to bear how fantastic they are. And I love that Donovan Mitchell, who got so much criticism after last year in the postseason where he largely disappeared, has really been able to bounce back and carry that team.
I wonder what that's about, that in the history of the sport, we're having young guys put up 50s, and maybe it's part of the bubble. You know, no one has to travel. You're really – I don't know.
A lot of foul calls.
Like wonky things are happening.
Soft
rim. That too. We'll move on. Buy or sell two, this story I want to get your read on. Are the Nets making a play for Greg Popovich? This is now being widely reported. How did they pull that off? It would take permission from San Antonio for Brooklyn to even talk to him right now, and whether Popovich would find Brooklyn attractive. Is there anything in here, Jackie? I'll start with you.
Well, it's called swinging for the fences. Sean Marks is part of the Spurs family tree. Why not try it? Even if Pop says, hey, look, I'm not going anywhere, and San Antonio says, you're right, we want to keep you here. You've just shown your stars, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, who absolutely love and revere Pop like almost everybody, hey, we tried, man. So even if you don't get him, great goodwill with your two young stars. Why not do this?
Frank, what are you hearing?
Yeah, this is what Jackie said. This is all about Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and a coach that can get through to both of them. Remember, Sean Marks was asked about this on New York radio back on July 3rd. He didn't exactly deny it. I have a funny feeling Greg Popovich has been there so long that if he really wanted to move on and try something different, I think San Antonio would actually let him go.
So you think it's within the realm of possibility San Antonio would say, sure, take the greatest coach that we've ever had.
Well, I mean, you know, the Nets do have the 19th pick of the draft, maybe some compensation like that. But he's been there for so long, has accomplished so much. If that's what he wanted to do, I think they could figure something out.
L. Duncan?
The 19th pick of the draft. I don't think that's going to be enough for the Spurs to part with him. I'm sorry. I feel that way. The window for the Nets to win is very, very small. So if Pop feels like he can come in and win a championship in the next couple of years, great. But if not, then he's going to find himself back in where he is right now with San Antonio, which is essentially in a rebuilding stage. I don't know why he would do that, besides the fact that, well, Kyrie Irving likes to whine and Greg Popovich likes wine. So that makes sense.
Ooh.
There you go.
Duncan, you are cold. Wow. What's a more attractive job, Philly or Brooklyn, Jackie?
Philly or Brooklyn? Oh, Brooklyn.
Yeah, the more attractive
Brooklyn. Right now is constituted. Right now, Brooklyn has constituted.
And Frankie?
Is better.
Yeah, I'm saying Brooklyn. You're going to get Kevin Durant. Okay. The role players there are good. I'm saying Brooklyn. That's the job you want.
We'll move on. Buy or sell three. One more topic to talk about here. It's the testing disaster that happened in the NFL this weekend. 77 tests affected, 11 teams believed to be inaccurate. They came back positive. They were negative. Think about it this way. If it happened 3 weeks from now, would they have canceled week one? What type of problem does the NFL have here? L, or do you not see it as a problem at all? You see it as a good thing because they were able to stuff it out.
This is a great thing. This is a consequence-free fire drill that they were able to, at the end of the day, come out of the weekend in the same way that they started, with just four players out of 2,500 on the COVID-19 list. This is perfect for them. Now they can build a contingency plan around what happens if on game day they get a false positive. I think it worked out great for them.
Frank Isola?
Yeah, I think the NFL has to be happy, but I think they'll be in a similar situation to baseball. If positive tests do come back, they're just going to forge ahead. Maybe some teams will have to miss a game and somehow make it up.
But this would have affected 11 teams. That's half the schedule. I mean, that's basically the entire schedule. How about you, Jackie?
But how do you know it's a false positive and enough time to make a decision that's going to affect everybody in your league? And by the way, this isn't confined to football. What about all the other labs all across the country that give us false test positive for normal, ordinary citizens? I think this is kind of a big deal. Yeah.
False positives is a huge problem with testing. False negatives. I was reading an article in Science, based in Science, this weekend. False negatives are actually by an exponentially more common than false positives. But you never consider that or talk about that either. This is part of a pandemic. This stuff's tough. And that's why it's going to be tough for them to proceed with the season. Tough for us to proceed with Frank Isola now with that point total. We say goodbye to Frank. Jackie L. Showdown.
I'm shocked.
In 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A classic around the horn trademarked comparison of three incomparable things. You ready? From baseball, Jose Abreu's record-tying 6 home runs in a 3-game series. That was a wow. Zach Greinke's 53.5-mile-per-hour pitch. That was a whoa. And Fernando Tatis Jr.'s Jumpman logo. That was a whoa. L, what is the most incomparable moment from this comparison we've got here?
The petty in me wants to say Tatis because, boy, it takes chutzpah for that. But it's got to be Jose Abreu. 6 home runs in 1 series. The man's trying to get a statue outside of Wrigley. In fact, he's on pace for, if it was regular season, 156 RBI. Absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. Jackie?
Loved me Jose Abreu, but come on. The Houston Astros are the most hated team in baseball for all sorts of understandable reasons. But here comes Zach Greinke throwing that off-speed thing. Even Trent Grisham, the batter, is kind of smiling. Then there's Abreu because he wants the mound to be fixed. He's sitting cross-legged. He's making them lovable. How's he doing that?
Making the Astros lovable. That'll get you a point and a FaceTime, Jackie Mack. Here we go. We're tight on time. Give it to us.
Well, as everyone knows, today is Mamba Day, 824, Kobe Bryant's numbers. But no one has warmed my heart more than the wonderful WNBA family who knows Kobe so well. And I'm telling you, it's genuine. I've been at all the Olympics where Kobe was sitting front row at their games. There were no cameras around. There was no girl dad, love you for that, L, going on here. It was just another basketball player supporting women that he thought were fantastic. And I love that today, on this day, the women are giving that back in spades by wearing his sneakers, his jerseys, and all the messages. The love affair between Kobe Bryant and the WNBA, it was real. It was genuine. Proud of you, ladies.
Saw a photo going around last night. Luka Doncic and Kobe Bryant hugging, meeting the two greats. And what was Kobe wearing? A WNBA sweatshirt. We'll see you guys
Love
tomorrow.
It.